Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to you.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your blessing. Oh, just thank God right now. Paramala Shabbat. You've done it. We thank you. Paloma Kabala Shandarin.
Manoko Shaka Varabayano.
You've done it.
Nibako Shatana Baba Nalababa.
Oh, Paloma
Shandariniabo Sika Varanyantabaya. Mechi Kaloma. Savidali Ekestoria Namana Chuzete. Dolari Abuzebili,
Sando Kamara,
Sheke Davi Adoma Sagobaran, Suso Bariano, Gemano Vigelistori Andeba, Makute Libe, Rema Shuka Vari Atoka Mandile, Gemano Vavare Abusenche Geleva Monosia, Larobo Koshata Kavani Andebea. We thank you, Lord, for you have done it. Iaromo Koshika Vara Antenia Melodile, Nenima Tukabaya. Jeli balose, li baroko sikata yandano, mandolo boko shandele le manana mikazona, jeli kastori andabaya kota.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalm 91. Now, one of the things that changes our lives greatly is the presence of God. And many times we don't have His presence. So what we need is the presence of God. Amen. And the presence of God is the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Father with us. Amen. And when the presence of the Lord is with us, there are many wonderful things that we experience. So without the presence of the Lord, you are nothing but a weakling. Did you know that? You are a weakling in every way possible. And not only you, but everybody who doesn't have the presence of God, you are a weakling. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I just want to show you something there before we continue. In 1 Corinthians, it's about people dying. Whenever you go to a funeral, right, you see verse 37. It says, "That which thou sowest not that body which shall be but bare grain, and it may chance of wheat or some other grain. So when you bury someone, you are not burying the person, the body that is going to exist later, that the person is going to have. Because the person will have a body, but it's not the one you are putting into the ground. Are you with me? Otherwise, somebody like Adoniram Judson was eaten by the fishes. He was thrown into the water, and that was the end of him, because he was he died at sea, and they had no fridges, no electricity, so they have a short ceremony and they throw you into the water and a fish will eat you. What do you think? Huh? A very great person, the one who took the gospel to Burma. Really, really amazing. So the person you bury is not the person who is going to come out of the ground. Then he goes on to explain, verse 38, God giveth it a body as it has pleased him. So verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of man, fish, beasts. All of us have different kind of meat. That's why we say red meat, white meat. Isn't it? Goat meat is red meat. Cow meat is red meat. Pork is white meat. Chicken is white meat. Crocodile is white meat. But you can only eat the tail of the crocodile. You can't eat the rest. It's too hard. So we only eat the tails, those of us who eat crocodiles. How many of us eat crocodiles here? We have some crocodile one day at the kebab place. All right? So there's different types of bodies. Like on earth, we have different types of flesh, right? And I would add there's male flesh and female flesh. Male flesh behaves differently, feels differently, and even makes you have different kinds of thoughts. Female flesh also makes you have different kinds of thoughts. Are you with me? Then, so apart from the physical different types of bodies on earth, we have different types of earthly bodies divided into another category, the earthly body and the heavenly ones in verse 40. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. All right? But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So we are going to have celestial bodies. So anyone who is dead, don't feel sad. So sad. I mean, you'll be sadder if you ever see a post-mortem or something like that being done. You wouldn't be happy at all. But and also, if you go back to the grave after 40 years, you may get only the nails, just the nails, and a bit of hair left. And the rest, it turns into sand. You know, the sand is like the red sand, but it's thicker. It's brown. It's like this gari that is brown, dark brown. That's how the dust is. I've seen it before. All right? So, you have nothing left. Okay, but you see, fortunately, or good news is that we are going to have celestial bodies. Those bodies will also have ability to do many things that we do on earth. But we do it in a heavenly way. Wow. I don't know how it's going to be like. But I know we have bodies. Now, how do I know? Because Lazarus, when Lazarus died, and the rich man also died, the rich man saw Lazarus across. I said, hey, I know that guy. So if Lazarus was like a bit of air in a plastic bag flying around, do you think he would have been able to recognize him? No. So you are not going to be like a bit of air in a whitish plastic bag flying. Like, that's how we imagine a ghost is, like just white bags flying around like ghosts. No, you'll be you. So he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his book and cried to Father Abraham, I pray thee, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger. So he still had the finger. Celestial body. So Lazarus was in his celestial body. So dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue. Cool my tongue. So he still had a tongue, and the tongue is in the mouth, and the mouth is in the head. Or have you seen a tongue flying on its own like this? No. Tongue is tongue. For I am tormented. So you still have feelings. Some people feel that there's going to be sex in heaven. I can't confirm that or not. But the Bible says at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of pleasures these are. But it may be fantastic. So those of you who don't like such things, when you get to heaven, you'll be shocked to find out that it's continuing. Wow. And without marriage, without weddings, without anything. Maybe, I don't know. I can't confirm. Maybe you just meet a friend and be happy. Without quarrels. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. Kabashakayatalata. So, amazing. But no one can pretend that he really knows, you know. Then, verse 42 says that so is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. And it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. So what you notice here is that when you die, or even before you die, or when you die, your body is buried. So what is buried? What is buried, according to verse 42, is corruption. So that's us. Corruption. No matter how nice you are spoiling. That's why sometimes you see a small child like this and he has a pot belly. A small child like this and he has a pot belly. Or you've not seen some before. And you even wonder, how can such a small baby have a pot belly? But it's the corruption, like the whole system is spoiled. You get what I'm saying? So it's not only grown-ups who have pot bellies. But you can see sometimes a small child, 4 years old, he's got a pot belly. Hey! Things getting spoiled amazingly. Then it is sown in dishonor. And it's raised in glory. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but how many have done some dishonorable things since you were born? into this world. No, put your hand, just the choir area. So these choristers who are going to stand in front to sing, when they die, the truth, what we can say is that if you are burying them, you are burying something that is dishonorable. That's the nature of the human being. Are you with me? Then it is sown in weakness and it is raised in power. So you go down as weak, dishonorable, corrupt. That's man. That's why you hear the phrase, it's a human institution. You get what I'm saying? It's a human institution. That means that there's corruption in it. It means there's dishonor in it. And it means there's weakness. Wow. Verse 44. And it is sown a natural body and is raised a spiritual body. So, if we were to summarize your life, the summary will be what? Corruption, dishonor, and weakness. Natural. So that is why we need some other ability to help us. Amen. So Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. And you shall receive power after what? The Holy Ghost is come down upon you. Amen. So a life without the Holy Spirit is a life of normal human existence, which is corruption, dishonor, and weakness. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, then he helps you. You get what I'm saying? He helps you so that the dishonor is less or a little less frequent. The weakness is still there, but there's now power because the Holy Ghost has come. And then the corruption, the spoiling of your life in every way, it's less because there's now ability and supernatural power enabling you. So if you think that you are the only one who has weaknesses, then you don't know the person next to you well. You get what I'm saying? And I mean the person who is sitting next to you in church. I don't mean next to you in your area. I mean next to you in church. Yes. Now, ladies are often made out to look nicer than we, the brothers. True or not true? They look more gentle, softer, kinder, and harmless. True or not true? Even during weddings, the lady will be wearing a white dress that signifies purity. And the brother is wearing a dark suit, which signifies sinfulness. Boys are bad, and the girls are good. But I have news for you. That look, we are all the same flesh. Whether you are a boy or a girl, it's just boys' corruption and girls' corruption. Boys' weaknesses, girls' weaknesses. Boys' dishonor and girls' dishonor. Yes. Yes. And so we are contributing at least 50% of to the problems. Come from the boys and 50% from the girls, at least. I don't want to go into whether it's more for the boys or the girls, but at least it's equal. You get what I'm saying? The man is the head, but he's not the head of sins. He's the head of the relationship. All right. But we know that the ladies have got, they are weaker vessels. So we know that in addition to all the problems, they are even weaker. Yeah. So we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Even the girls need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because you may be a lady and you think you are pure. You are innocent. You are harmless. But I'm telling you, you also need the Holy Spirit. If you are a school prefect, you know, there are some people who have been, you're always chosen to be the leader, school prefect, leader of the fellowship, because you look good. How many know somebody, this type of looking good people? They need the Holy Spirit more than even you. Because that good looking atmosphere around them is a covering of deception. And those who wear glasses also, sometimes they look even more dignified than those of us who are not wearing some of those glasses. They look like diplomats, ambassadors. But they also need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you receive what? Power. Power. And that is the ability. The ability to be witnesses. To stand up for Jesus. To stand up for Christ. Hallelujah. And that is a great blessing. So many of us, you know, since we found Christ, we have not been able to stand up and do what we need. Now look at Luke 11 verse 13. We are just about to pray. We are still praying. Now, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So, we really need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Don't assume that, oh, I have the Holy Spirit. No, you need the presence of God. And when the presence of God is with you, you are able to do many things that you were not able to do before. And you are blessed. Turn to Genesis 39. It's sort of like a favorite passage, Genesis 39. Now, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. I don't know where you are being brought down from. All right, from Kaswa, from wherever. And an Egyptian bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had been brought down thither. So in our lives, this can be the story of many of our lives. We travel, we go to places. You are like Joseph. Many times we go through things we didn't plan. We are sad about it. We are regretting, we are wondering, how did I come to be in this circumstance? How did I get deep into a problem like this? I should have shut my big mouth when my brothers were doing bad things. And I would have been in the house by now. Everything would have been okay. How many have things that you regret, you know, saying or doing? And sometimes we are in situations. Some of you had a beloved. Instead of being humble, you were not humble. You've lost the beloved. Now you are wondering, that me cry, what was I thinking about? It wasn't such a bad guy after all. I should have shut my big mouth. I've still been in a relationship by now. Maybe I would have even have married. Huh? Verse 2. But the Lord was with Joseph. You see, this is the presence of God. When God is with you, that's the Holy Spirit I'm talking about. When God is with you, you see, it changes the equation. That's why if God is not with you and you are just normal, then it's going to be corruption, weakness, dishonor. This is how your life will be. I don't have to even know your life. I will just have to write 3 points I just have to write 3 points. Without the Holy Spirit, there'll be three things about you. When everybody who dies has these three labels. Yes. Everybody who dies has these labels. Weakness, corruption, dishonor. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible is written, and then you know yourself too. So you, yourself, and then the Bible are confirming things. And the person sitting by you is the third confirmation. So the Lord was with Joseph, you see, and he was a prosperous man. This is the first prosperous slave we have heard of, somebody who's been bought. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So when God is with you, things change. It starts to modify. So God is with me, otherwise I wouldn't be here. I'd just be an ordinary Finnish medical school. Sometimes people say, Phil, maybe did I go to school in America? I have not been to any school in no America. No, nowhere. I've had one of the most ordinary lives you can ever have. All my school is from Ghana. I've never been abroad to any school or even a course. I've not done any other course. Home-based, homegrown chicken, free range. And I've not gone to any special school. Or like nowadays, we have SOS and these special schools. I've not been to any such school. No. Ordinary schools. Is Achimota not an ordinary school? Yeah. And Legon here is my school. That's all. There's no special school. I mean, no. But the Lord was with him. God is going to be with you. And God being with you is going to make your life above ordinary. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. You see, people will start to notice that God is with this person. God is with this person. His master saw that God was with him. So people start to recognize. They may even start to call you Osofo. Don't be angry with it when they call you Osofo. Oso. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It means they've recognized that God is with you. They've noticed it. When they start to say, oh, S.U. boy, S.U. goes, oh, this, I can see. Krife sister, Krife. What? It's a recognition that God is with you. So his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Because things don't always work out. But when God is with you, he makes things work that are not going to work. I mean, how many have watched James Bond before? They will catch him, but somehow in his case, he will escape. They will shoot him, but in his case, he will not die. I don't know if you've watched James Bond. I've seen James Bond for a number of times where he was in a coffin. Yes. It's funny that he's in a coffin. I watched a James Bond film. He was in a coffin and they put him in for cremation. Have you seen that one? Yeah, they put him in. He went in the coffin with the fire and they showed the fire. The fire was burning the coffin. The next thing I saw, he came out of it. Your life will be coming out of amazing places in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I mean, cremation, you are out. It means God is with you. Hallelujah. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer. You will be a national hero. Yes. He made all that he did to prosper, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his hand, and all that he had put into his hand. That's what God is going to do for you with the presence of God. That's why we are praying for the Holy Spirit in this moment. That God should be with us. That's the presence. of God, you are asking, Lord, be with me. Be with me. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit. Shall we stand to our feet? And I want us to pray. Listen, don't take it for granted. Let's pray God. Because Luke 11:13 says that God will give the Holy Spirit to them who ask for the Holy Spirit. Let us pray, lift our hands and call on God. Say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit in my life.
Yes.
I need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Ramandala Mashandele Beke Baradala Baba. Mario Dolomo Santele Beke Baradala Mamandele Bebe. Oh, Ramamama Ramandala Babandele Bebe.
Zoria Baketoli.
Alero Monali Bandele Bebe.
Mario
Dolomo Shindala Mama Kabaranali Baba.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Marion Dolomo, Chandele, Remendele, Beben. Hey, Ramandali, Borim, Bendele, Beben, Bendele, Beben, Bendele, Beben. Hey, Ramandala, Baba, Chandele, Bendele, Beben. Hey, Ramandala, Baba,
Mitola,
Ramandala, Baba.
Redevegeziota, Shando Barakatandele, Rema Katandele, Bendele, Abasonda, Le Machike Baria Saluri Evelimo, Ramani Ande, Nine Mekestula, Machiko Lamela, Labos Kefale, Mulo Machiko Barali Andeli Amazonda, Chandale, Mukos Kabea, Rabadala Baba, Muche Kamali.
Lord, we pray for the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit.
Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Limbo Kocho, Malika Sibela, Malajulo Mobila Custoria, Rombe Jagulime, Rombe Jomola, Rombo Mojovalikista, Rine Mekashule Malamanio Tako, Pelalo, Pelalo, Valige, Veladro Lama. Ramani Otelia, Ishoka Paraliota, Paradisoke, Ilaru Omochike Balabadiota, Randelebe Kosandelia, Ria Monokobo Sakaya,
Rebe
Choko Paraliota, Rebe Kosiandele Yota, Lombo Chokombele Gelibo, Rema Namanimo Chakabalida, Uluma Kasi, Monochike Bala, Rando Lobo Kosi Kabaya,
Give me Many of us here have not yet received the Holy Spirit. You've not yet received the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. Give me a wave. Some of us here have not received. I want to pray for you. Yes. Come to the front if you have not received the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues yet. So that whilst we pray for the Holy Spirit,
Jesus,
you can also receive the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
But you must be born again. If you are not born again, don't come. Are you born again? Are you born again? Are you born again? Do you know what is born again? Somebody asking what is born again. You must be born again. You must be a born again Christian. Quickly come. We are praying for the Holy Spirit. Many people are in church, but they haven't received the Holy Spirit. And they don't speak in tongues. So we need to pray for you and pray for us all,
yes,
to receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come to the front. I'm going to pray with you. Come. Come all the way. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As we, in this short prayer time, I believe God is giving us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now look at me, everyone. Listen, the Holy Spirit, and not only the Holy Spirit, even evil spirits, you can't feel them because our flesh is not able to contact spirits. Do you understand? That's why you can look, there will be a spirit standing here, you will not see it. You can wear all glasses, but you don't see. It has to be physical for you to see it. So even bacteria, they are very small, you don't see, but with a microscope you can see. And even viruses like Ebola virus and all these other kind of viruses, they are very small. You need a huge microphone as tall as a building to see one. But it doesn't mean it's not real. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is spirit, and it affects us. When you have an evil spirit, it affects you. They are demonic powers. But God wants us to have the Holy Spirit. And then all of us who already have the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Spirit again and again. In the Bible, they were filled with the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself. In Samuel, he was writing to believers. And he said, be filled. Be, or be being filled. Continuous. Be filled. But be filled. So many Christians are dry. So we want to all pray for the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And all of us can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, recently I heard somebody saying something. They were saying that there was a prophecy that they were going to die. So they said, let's take some money to go and give to the prophet so that the prophecy will change. Do you see? But what you have to realize is that God is not somebody you can pay for good things to happen to you. God is God. Amen. And so you can't expect good things to come to you unless you do it God's way. So God wants you to be a strong Christian who has the Holy Spirit. All of us must have the Holy Spirit. I received the Holy Spirit in secondary school. Since I was in secondary school, I've been praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. Are you with me? And it really helps me to be a strong Christian. So all of us here who are Christians are going to receive the Holy Spirit. And all of us already who already have received the Holy Spirit, you may be very dry this morning, but God wants you to receive the Holy Spirit again. So all of you, step forward here. I will lay hands on you. When I lay hands on you, you will see. No, don't stand on it. You are going to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. In just 5 minutes, we are doing this. And all of us lift our hands. So all of us lift our hand and begin to pray. Now ask God for the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, please give me the Holy Spirit.
Lord, give me the Holy Spirit.
Give me the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit.
Give me the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy
Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Ramashadola Barakuche Kabayandabaya.
Aramandalababa.
Rivadia Bakasota
Barakabaranda.
Shuri Abaraba.
Give me the Holy Spirit.
Give
me the Holy Spirit.
A
special Holy Spirit. Be strong. Give me the Holy Spirit. Your presence in my life, which changes my life. Your presence in my life, which changes everything. Give me the Holy Spirit.
Lord, give me the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Lord, come into my life. Take away my corruption. Make me a better Christian. To serve you. To be a witness. To stand up for you. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Let your presence be the main thing about my life. Your presence. Oh, let other people see that you are with me, Lord. Let people notice that God is with me. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Now let us all begin to thank God for the Holy Spirit. Just thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Lord.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Oh yes. Oh yes. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Ria mo la 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 la
We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for strengthening us, Lord. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for strengthening us. To work for you, Lord. To live for you. Pray for the Holy Spirit, everybody. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Spirit of God. Oh, yes. We ask for the Holy Spirit. 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 Spirit, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit. Give us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Give us your Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, look at me, everybody, for a minute. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. Yes, Spirit of wisdom. You know, how you think is your wisdom. How you think about everything. Because I may say something, or God may say something to you. How you think. I was telling somebody today, I said, I want you to go to the university. And I said, the reason is that I need your mind to be broadened. Because I may be talking to you and you may say to yourself that I'm insulting you when I'm giving you advice, that you would interpret it as maybe an insult or a rebuke, when it's the most loving word that could ever be given to you because of the way you think. So, understanding, some people interpret almost everything as an insult. Like as I'm holding my microphone with my right hand and I'm saying something, they may think that this left hand means I'm insulting you. Some people are like that. You don't know what is he thinking next. You understand what I'm saying? So the Spirit of wisdom is going to make you think differently and in a better way. Yes. Yes. One day I joined a group, you know, and then I was giving them some ideas. And the Holy Spirit showed me that these people don't think that way. They don't think what I'm saying. I shouldn't say it again. And I stopped saying. Because there's a difference between the way a bank, you know, when you go for meetings in a bank, not, I don't know about Ghana, but someone was telling me, like abroad, they can be having a meeting and they say, you, out of the meeting. We inform you of any decision. You don't speak when we are having a meeting. There's no contribution from you. You, outside. Meanwhile, you are part of the meeting. They've asked you to go out because you don't talk. In England, yes, so excuse us. You'll be informed of any decision we take. Yes. You come to work and they tell you, you have to justify why you are here. Meanwhile, you are working. You say, no, we don't know why you are here. Is different from certain institutions where they don't expect changes and they don't expect things to really work well. There are different reasons for that. So everywhere and how they think. So one day I joined the group, that's not how they think. And the Holy Spirit said, don't say what you are saying. Don't try to bring improvement here. They are not after improvement. They are after let the boat be there. on the water. That's all. Are you with me? But your mind is going to change. If I had had certain wisdom when I was in school, I would have built a house. Because I was richer when I was a student than when I started working. When I started working, I became poor. Because I was now under government. But when I was a student, I was under my father. My father's house was better than government work. So I want us all to pray for the spirit of wisdom. And all of us in front, I'm going to start laying hands on you. When I lay hands on you, God is going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to start speaking in tongues. Let's all lift our hand. We are praying for the Holy Ghost. Father, give us the Holy Spirit. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of understanding.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, receive the Holy Ghost. Yes, don't pray in English anymore. As soon as I touch you, just open your mouth and let it flow. Let it flow. Holy Ghost. Yes, it's flowing. The Holy Ghost is flowing. Let the Holy Ghost flow out of you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Don't pray in English anymore. Just open your mouth. Let the Holy Ghost flow. It's flowing. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth. Yes, begin to pray. Open your mouth. Let it flow. Let me have some of the pastors to help me. Joshua and Alice. Paul and Coach Terry, come. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost is flowing. It's flowing. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive it. Yes. It's flowing. Receive it. Oh, yes. Don't pray in English anymore. Holy Ghost is flowing. What a blessing. Yes, receive it. Receive the Holy Ghost. Let it flow out of your belly. Lift your hands. Thank God right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
This week is a different week in your life because of the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit. All of you, many of you have received. Just everybody pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Let it flow. It is a river. It is a river. It is a river. It must flow out of you. It must flow out of you. Let it flow. Let it flow.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. How many of you have just started speaking in tongues in front here? How many of you received? Just give me a wave. Give me a wave. So many. Give me a wave. Wow. What a blessing.
Yes.
Now, listen. Let me tell you something. Look at me for a moment. This is a message to all of us. The supernatural, the spirit. There is a step between the natural and the spirit. One moment you are speaking with your natural, the next second, it is a spiritual thing. That's how even preaching is. One moment is just logic. The next moment is saying something prophetic. And supernatural things are like that. The spirit, there's just a step between the spirit and the natural. And it takes faith. Once you cross over, I never think of it when I'm praying in tongues. It just flows. It's the natural thing for me to do. So now there's a river in you. John chapter 7. Jesus said, you know, out of your belly shall flow rivers. What is the use of the river that doesn't flow? So that's why tongues should be flowing out of you. Should be flowing. And he says, and he said in the next verses, this spake he of the Spirit. He was talking of the Spirit. The Spirit in you is like a river. If it doesn't flow, it's useless. The river must flow. Lift your hand. Let's all thank God for the river that's going to flow this week in your life.
For the Holy Spirit.
The river is going to flow mighty.
Thank you for the river.
In your life. Yes. Mighty river.
Mighty river.
Of God.
Of God.
Thank you, Lord, for the mighty river of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you thanks.
Yes, Lord.
And we give you praise.
We give you praise.
For the mighty Spirit, you have given to us,
yes, Lord.
Today,
more
we give you thanks,
yes, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name,
Jesus' name,
and everyone said, amen,
amen.
I prophesy to you that the presence of God,
yes,
will be discovered in your life.
Receive
and
it.
People will see that God is with you.
Yes,
people will know.
Yes.
That the Holy Ghost,
yes,
is with you.
Is with me.
Father, I thank you.
Thank you.
For a great change.
Mata komene.
Everyone here today.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations, all of you who have received the Holy Ghost today. Now, if you didn't receive the Holy Ghost, next week and the week after, we'll continue praying. Me, when they prayed for me the first time, I didn't receive. But later, I received. So we keep on praying for you and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go back to your seats. You may be seated. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus and give the Lord a shout of praise. Are you excited to be at the prophetic encounter service? Then shout, "Ear!"
Yeah.
All right. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 that if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. Amen. As you are in church this morning, you are going to hear the word of God. And the Bible says the word of God is profitable for reproof and for instruction in righteousness. The things you hear in church, you have to implement. And as you implement the things you hear in church, you are receiving your breakthrough in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our first testimony is coming from our brother Sylvester. He's an usher and he's from Ashesi. Put your hands together for him. Sylvester, what did God do for you?
I want to give God the glory for saving my life from a fatal car accident.
Wow, tell us about it.
So on Valentine's Day, that was in the evening. I was in the bus going to the First Love Center for a program. But then I had to stop the bus to change into the Ashes attire. to the bus parked on the right side of the road. And then as I was crossing the road, a taxi driver was descending the hill from our school, and he turned off his engine to conserve fuel.
He had turned off his engine to conserve fuel.
Yes, so that he can just go down the hill smoothly.
He was coming downhill.
Yes, down the hill from our school. So I didn't hear him until I saw the car, but by then it was too late. So his car knocked me. I somersaulted once and landed behind the car. Yeah. And after that, all I had on me was a scratch on my elbow. So in my mind, I was like, all I need to do is just change and I can still go for the program. But my friends were saying that I should go to the hospital to check for broken bones or for any issue. So reluctantly, I went to the hospital. I did an x-ray exam and I did some other exams that cost a lot of money. And to the glory of God, nothing was wrong with my body. My bones were fine. I was
Put your hands together for Jesus. Psalm 34 verse 20 says that he will preserve you. Not even one of your bones will be broken. He said when he fell, when the car hit him, he somersaulted and fell. And his friends said they should go to the hospital to check whether his bones... His friends didn't know that he was operating under a covering. None of your bones will be broken in Jesus' name. God is preserving your life in Jesus' name. So are you grateful to God?
I'm grateful
you
to God.
You said you remember the testimony... you remember the prophecy you heard in church in that moment?
Yeah, so the Sunday before that Wednesday, the bishop was praying for us after the communion. And was praying that you are declared to be a divine escapee from terror and from death in Jesus' name.
Said you are declared to be a what?
You are declared to be a divine escapee from terror and from death in Jesus'
you
name.
You are declared to be a divine escapee from terror and from death in the name of Jesus. Wow, so first of all, you have to say?
So, I just want to encourage all of you to believe in God and believe in the prayers of our prophet because it is truly working in our lives. Believe it and your life will be
now glorious. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. You are next in line to receive a miracle. Let's put our hands together for our next testimony, Pastor Adoniram. Put your hands together for him. He's here to testify of what God did for him. Pastor Adoniram, what did God do for you?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thank God so much for this day, and I want to give glory to God for blessing a friend of mine through our daddy. Amen.
Amen.
During the National Visitation Week, I was going to visit some people in Zenith College. And on my way, after the visitation, a name fell in my spirit. And I was wondering, because it was quite late in the day, so I wanted to go home instead of going to another visitation. So I felt like going to see the person. So I called the person, and I went.
This was during National Visitation Week.
Yeah. So I want to see the person. And when I saw the person, then I realized that there is a reason why God has put her name in my heart. The person I knew was quite fleshy and big. But when I saw her, she looked so slim and as if she was sick. So then I sat ahead and I said, oh, what happened to you? And he said that, I mean, she got married along the line. I mean, I knew her 10 years ago when I was in Tertiary Apache. He said, along the line, she got married and then I think she fell into a financial difficulty. So the husband lost job, and then she was trying to support the family for the past 3 years. And then what made her issue was because she had a three-year-old son.
She had a three-year-old son.
Who couldn't speak. So, I mean, I was very sad in my spirit. Then, I mean, as a pastor, I didn't know what to do. So I felt like praying for her. So I asked for water in the form of communion. And then I prayed for her. And then during the prayer, I told her that, I mean, I was saying that may the grace upon our father, the bishop, To be able to heal people at the crusade. May that grace be upon you and your family.
Wow.
And then I prayed for her and then I left. During our crusade in Zimbabwe, after the crusade had ended, I was in my hotel room and I felt like calling somebody. So I called her. And lo and behold, when I called her, she was so excited on the phone. She said that, Pastor Adoniram, my three-year-old son is now speaking.
The three-year-old son
is now speaking.
He couldn't speak. For 3 years, he couldn't speak. He is now speaking. Are you sitting down like that? As a miracle worker, but if only you will step out in obedience to the instructions you hear in church, you will find out that you are a miracle worker. I see you working miracles in Jesus' name. He said it was during National Visitation Week, and he decided to go and visit somebody. And when he went, he met a situation and decided to pray. The visitor's anointing is upon you in Jesus' name. And what else?
And it didn't end there. So, I mean, before I left the house, she was telling me that, I mean, sometimes it's very hard for them to even eat. So I said, okay, then I will help her.
You'll be helping her.
Yes, so every now and then I send her money just to take care of the babies. Because the husband said that he had a prophet who has told him that he'll get a job. So for the past 3 years, he has been in the house waiting for the job to come.
I see.
Uh-huh. So I said to my mother, I also have a prophet. And this is what I believe he can do for you. So I kept calling to encourage her. So I think during last year, and the end of last year, we were taking communion. So I was up there, and Daddy was praying that may your family situation be changed.
Mm.
So then I remembered her, and I said, Father, may this prayer go to her. So I prayed for her as Daddy was praying. The Father touched her. Lo and behold, a few weeks after, she called me that, oh, can I do I have a mobile money account?
Do you have a mobile money account?
And I said, yes. But on a second thought, I said, someone that I send money, how come she's asking me for my mobile money account? So, I mean, I just sent to her. And then she sent me money.
She sent you money?
Yes. That's my first mobile money I received. That was, it was
very
from her.
First mobile money miracle I received, you received.
Was from her. So then when I called her, to her, has something changed in your life? She said, by the grace of God, she has a new job now.
A new job?
Her husband also has a job now.
Wow.
And they are doing very well. That's how come she's able to send me money.
The person he used to support.
Yes.
Was the first person to send you miracle money.
Yes.
Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? I said, give the Lord a shout of praise. It all started when he decided to obey the instructions he heard in church. National Visitation Week. Go out and visit this number. Some of you, National Visitation Week, you don't visit anybody. Ask your neighbor, he's the one who doesn't visit people during National Visitation Week. Pastor Darren, I'm sorry, what do you have to say?
What I want to say is that whatever instruction our Father gives is of God, and we must obey it. And I believe that in this era of our life, God wants to remember us. And the only way God remembers us is through his servant. Mm. Bible says in Genesis 40, verse 1, that the butler forgot Joseph in prison. But at the point, he remembered Joseph. And that was his breakthrough. I believe that God has sent us, our Father, to remember us and help us in our situation.
Wow, give the Lord a shout of praise. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Let's welcome Queenie Alote to share her testimony as well. She's from UPSA Hostel, and she's a film star. Wow. Queenie, what has God done for you?
Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank God for Daddy's prayers and Daddy's instruction for our lives. The beginning of this year, when Daddy started with the SIP, the Season of Intensive Prayer, the first week, it was watch and pray.
We're asked to watch and pray.
Yes, please.
From what time to what time?
From 2 to 6.
2 a.m. to 6
yes,
a.m.
Yes, please. So I took it very personal. So I was praying throughout the week at dawn. So during the weekend, my brother, we were all at the home, my brothers and my mom. And my brother was like, hey, Queenie, of late, I've been hearing you pray at dawn, pal.
He said of late, he's been what?
Hearing me from his room, praying at dawn.
Wow.
Yes. And he believes that anytime I pray, I remember him in prayers. And I was like, oh, yes, I do. And he said that he has realized that he hasn't really bought anything for me. Like, he hasn't really bought anything that would cost him that much. So, because of that, he'll buy me an iPhone. And, you know, brothers, they can promise. I was happy. I was laughing. But I didn't really, really take it serious. So, I came to
campus. Because he's never bought anything valuable.
No. If you buy me, you are going somewhere, you pay my transportation in and out. That one, it was normal. But this time around, he said he wants to buy me something that will blow my mind. So, I came to campus and I think it was a Saturday after outreach. My brother called me that I should meet his friend at the UPSA Junction. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went to the UPSA Junction. And lo and behold, I have a new, brand new iPhone.
A new, brand new iPhone. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. May you also receive a new, brand new iPhone. And you said, your brother said he's been hearing you praying of
yes,
late.
Yes.
He's been hearing you praying a lot.
Yes.
And he believes you've been praying for him.
For him, yes.
And because of that, he wants to buy you an iPhone.
Yes.
Hey! May you receive whatever blessing you are looking for. Whatever instruction you hear in church, if you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So, Queenie, what do you have to say?
I would like to encourage everyone that anything that Daddy tells us to do, you may never know when your breakthrough is coming. You may never know when your miracle is coming. It was just prayers at dawn, but he said because of that, because he knows that I'll pray for him, just because of that, he bought me an iPhone and my one Peswa is not even in it. So I want to encourage you that let us obey in between the porch and altar, watch and pray, everything, just obey and you shall be blessed.
Wow, amen. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. And let's welcome Pastor Ziggy to give us our final testimony. Shout Ian! Pastor Ziggy is in First Love Town Church. Pastor Ziggy, what has God done for you?
I want to give God the glory for miracle monies, not money, monies that I received during the past week.
You received miracle monies?
Yes.
During the past week?
The past week.
Wow, tell us
now,
about
on,
it.
On Sunday, I remember when Daddy was taking the offering, the second offering, he asked us to lift up our hands. And then I remember when he got to the third step over there, he said, no, change your offering, because he feels that this particular offering is for miracle monies.
Mm.
And when he was praying, he said, monies you don't deserve, monies you deserve will either come via your mobile money.
Via mobile money.
Bank account. Or the person will just put it in your hand.
Or the person will put the physical cash
in your hand.
Receive all three in Jesus' name.
Wow. And so the following day, which was Monday, I went to work. Now, I treat cancer patients. So they are not people who really give you much. Because over there, my place, you pay almost $10,000 for a treatment. And the man's case was the same. He paid $10,000. So when he came, it was his first day. Now he can't speak because they've done the surgery called tracheostomy. So his trachea, that part has been taken off, so he cannot speak. So what he does is that he writes on the sheet of paper. And then whenever he writes, I'll explain everything to him. So after the treatment, the man kept on asking questions. Then I don't know. Funny enough, I was so patient with him. Then when he finished, he wrote on the sheet that, can I give you money?
The man wrote on the sheet.
Yes. Can I give you money? And I said, it's not allowed. As in, policy doesn't allow that you give me money. And that whatever I do, I'm already being paid to do it for you. Then he said, no. Can I give you money?
And he insisted that, can I give you money?
When
you are being instructed by a divine force, you have to ask, can I give you money? This week somebody will ask you, can I give you money? Tell your neighbor, somebody is going to ask you, can I give you money? Shout, EA! Wow. So and what did he say?
I said, when he insisted the second time, because I needed money to do a lot of things. So I said, look, if you will not tell anybody, then why not?
Flow.
And the man just put his hands into his pocket.
He put his hands into his pocket.
Now, ideally, they give 20 for malt credit. So he just brought the money out. 20 CD notes. And he just dropped it in my hand. Then I told him, no, we don't pay for the treatment here. You have to go to
the amount of money he put into your hands made you tell him that you don't pay for the treatment with me because you thought he was paying for the treatment. I used to tell that like that. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Wow. Pastor Ziggy, how much did he put into your hands?
You know, when he left, that was when I even counted. Now, I counted 93 notes. That's 26. That's 1,860.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. God is giving you money this week.
860
Ghana cedis.
That is more than half of my salary.
Half
of my salary that
he just gave it to
he
you.
He just gave it to me. So the moment he left, and I remember that Daddy said, money, because I'm already being paid to do what I'm doing. So that money that he gave to me was not something that he was supposed to do.
And that day when he were in church and he heard that instruction, that changed your offering,
yes,
what did he do?
I had 7 cedis in my
seven
bank.
Ghana
yes,
cedis.
7 cedis. And I took the 2 cedis out to
you
give.
You took out 2 Ghana
yes,
cedis to give?
To give the offering.
But when you heard change
when
your offering.
When Daddy said change the offering, then I put the 2 cedis back and I took the 5 rather.
5 Ghana cedis is able to provoke such a miracle. Whatever instruction you are hearing this week will provoke a miracle in your life. Shout, EA!
And you see, that's not it all. Now, after he gave me that, by Tuesday evening, the money was finished. Why? Because I had a lot of things that I needed to do. So after I took my tithe out, before I realized the money was finished. And unfortunately for me, Wednesday morning, I realized that my phone was spoiled. There was a bulge. The battery had bloated. So the screen had gotten spoiled. And for 3 days, like from Wednesday to Friday, I didn't have a phone. And I was wondering how I was even going to get money to buy a phone. I didn't want to buy an Android phone. I wanted an iPhone.
You didn't want an Android phone?
I wanted an iPhone. So when I got to work on Wednesday, the Tuesday was a holiday. So Wednesday, this same man.
The same man?
Yes.
Some man is going to give you money this week. This same man.
The same man. Wednesday, he asked me what the side effects of his treatment was. So I explained everything to him. Then he asked me that, how many are we, like, those treating him? And I said, we're three. Then he asked that, he gave me money on Monday. But when he comes the following day, he wants to come and see all of us.
He wants to come and see
the
you.
The first one was just for me. Mm. But this one, he wants to see all of us. So Thursday afternoon, he comes around 1. After we finish the treatment, he finished dressing, putting his tube, everything on. Then he brought an envelope out of his pocket. 2 envelopes. And when we opened the envelope, there were 50 CD notes, 5,000 CDs in one envelope, and 1,000 in the other. So 6,000 CDs for the three of us to share. Which means that I was getting 2,000 Ghana
Another
CDs.
Another 2,000 yes. Ghana CDs in the same week.
In the same week.
In the same week.
Yes.
Because you swap your two Ghana CDs
Ghana for five
CDs. For five CDs. May you receive a blessing you don't deserve.
And you know, when he gave me the money, and my colleague just told me that he doesn't know. This is what he said. He said, he thanked me. I didn't give him the money, but he said, thank me. Why? Because I remember I told him on Wednesday that when I came to church, that he said, miracle money is becoming this week. And he told me that's for him. He doesn't go to this church. But there's something about blessings and curses. People you work with cannot make you blessed or cursed. And so as long as Bishop says, I will receive miracle money. So once he's by my side.
Once he's by your side. He also received 2,000. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
And by the grace of God, I took my tithe 200 CDs out of it. And then I got myself a new, brand new iPhone 7 Plus.
It will be a portion too. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Hallelujah. If you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Today, I perceive you are going to hear a lot of powerful words spoken under the anointing. And as you believe in the words of God, God is going to meet you at the point of your need. Put your hands together for powerful testimonies.
He doesn't want to miss the mission, no, no. doesn't want to miss his calling. No, no. He doesn't want to miss the will of God.
Now I'm on my way. I have found.
Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Cause I was lost in sin and shame, but you gave your life to save me. Stuck on you, I found my place, and this is where I'm gonna stay. Now I'm on my way. Jesus, this is where I found the love, the peace, the joy, and the Holy Ghost. And now I'm on my way.
Say I don't know you. Oh, oh, oh. say unto them, I say I do not know you. When was the last time you spoke to me?
To know how deep is your love, how deep.
That's the least that you can do. Da 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 da. Oh, one day Jesus turned to Peter and said, I wanna know if you really love me. Simon Peter turned to him and said, oh my Lord, why do you even ask? 'Cause you know, dear Lord, how I love you. I will keep your command, I will feed your sheep. Jesus asking you the same, how deep is your love?
Together all night long, I feel your eyes.
Africa shall be saved. But tell me, how long is it gonna take for you to obey me? I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain, oh, for you to do my will. Feeling that I'm waiting in vain, oh no, for you to obey me. That's why I'm asking, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? Am I gonna wait in vain for your love? Am I gonna wait in vain for your love? Do you remember what I told you? I told you, build a mega church, 10,000 seats. And I told you, have a burning vision. Your vision must be big. But all you do does not lead to church growth, because your mind is on other things. So I've been thinking to myself, it seems I'm wasting time on you. So I'm gonna change your position. I'm gonna replace you and bring in someone else. To obey me, that's how I feel. I have a feeling that I'm waiting in vain for you to do my will. I wanna know now, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? I need to know now, am I gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh, am I gonna
you.
you to do my will. First love, church, I have a feeling that I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for you to do my will. God is asking, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh my, my, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? He wants to know, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? Oh, is he gonna wait in vain for your love? He wants to know now, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna wait in vain? Oh, oh, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? When will you join up our center? Is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? When will you join up our center? Is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? Will you be a musher? Will you be a dancer? Will you be a singing star? Is he gonna wait in vain? He wants to know. Oh, oh, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna, is he gonna? Even culinary stars, you don't want to join, is he gonna? What do you want to do for Jesus? What do you want to do for Jesus? What do you want to do for Jesus? Tell me.
To notice all the
other girls no more, but I seem to notice them all the more. Is there something wrong with me?
To two people and say, I go to the best church in Accra. Turn to two people and say, I hear the best music in Accra. turn to three people and say, the best dancers in Accra are here. Now tell the last person, the choicest man of God, the greatest prophet God could have sent us, is here today. And you know, as I drove in today, I saw buses coming from Kasua to Miocho. I saw buses coming from Jamestown all the way to Manfe. And I realized that the Lord has gathered us from the east, from the west, from the north and the south. And He has brought us here for a miracle. He has brought us here for a word. He has brought us here to transform and to change our lives. And if we pay attention to the words that God is sending us, our lives are never going to be the same. And I feel more established and more blessed every week. And I know your life is not going to be the same. And if you are here for the first time today, I want you to get ready to experience the touch of God. Get ready to experience the move of the Holy Spirit, because I'm convinced that your life will never be the same. If you expect a miracle, put your hands together, lift your voices, and scream. Pastor, I can't hear you. Pastor, I can't hear you. Are you excited to receive the man of God, the prophet of God, the word of God?
I believe God's word is still the same. And I expect a miracle today.
Lift your hands. Father, thank you for a great miracle in our lives today. We receive your blessing and your help on our lives in a special way. Put your hand on your heart. Father, let everyone who is here today go away empowered,
yes,
strengthened to overcome the devil,
yes,
in every aspect of our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. The devil is defeated in your life.
Amen.
Today I'm preaching about great change. Great change. There's a song that I believe that had a great change since I met God. Amen. Now, one of the person who exemplified a great change is the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. If you turn with me, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples went to the high priest, and he desired letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if any found this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul was looking for Christians to arrest. Are you with me? So, as he journeyed, there was a bright light shone from heaven around him. And then he fell to the earth, verse 4, and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So, Saul was a Jesus persecutor. Okay, I'm talking about great change. When you become a Christian, there's supposed to be a great change in your life. Now, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It is hard to fight God. Will you remember that it's hard to fight God? Never fight what God is doing. It's difficult to fight God. So God told Paul that it is hard or painful to kick against thorns. The pricks are the thorns. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but they couldn't see anyone. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. So it is biblical to fall down. Sometimes people are struck down when they are in the presence of God. All right? And sometimes it's biblical to, the Bible says in verse 4, he fell to the earth. He fell to the earth. So don't be surprised if you come to church and people fall to the earth. And physical things happen to them. He went blind. Don't be surprised if people's eyes are open. All right? Now, verse 9. He was 3 days and nights without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. So, temporary blindness for 3 days and nights. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight. The name of the street is Straight. This street here is called Revival at 7th Street. Yeah. So, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. Now, he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So, there are people that God has ordained to lay hands on you. And when they lay hands on you, things will change in your life. Amen. Now, Ananias said, Lord, I've heard by this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel. There is somebody here, there are some people here, you have been very bad, but you are a chosen vessel for the Lord.
Receive it.
Amen. 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 All right? Now, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay? So you may have been very, very bad before, but God can choose you and use you even with the background of your badness. How many have been bad before? Like you are a young bad boy. Hey. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. He was now calling him brother. Who was enemy Saul was now brother Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a very dramatic conversion. So anytime you have a dramatic experience with God, you must know there are big things in store. And that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So you can see that very important to receive the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't expect great changes. Yes. The Holy Spirit is essential for a great change to come into your life. Amen. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And Saul for certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So you see, you can start preaching almost immediately. Some of you feel, I must be a Christian for 19 years. I must be a Christian for 7 years. But Saul, who was converted, immediately started preaching. So those of you who are thinking, well, I've just been a Christian for 1 year. I've just been born again for a short time. No. Amen. Then he received his sight. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Amazing. Verse 19. He received meat. Now he ate. And he was strengthened. Now Saul was certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straight away, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. Is this not the bad boy? Is this not the bad girl who was doing many, many bad things? Do you know anybody doing many, many bad things? Verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength. You must become a strong Christian. And confounded the Jews. He confused them with dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, the devil always wants to kill you when you start working for God. And he can never kill you unless it's a divine decision. That you should go out of the world. You can never die until God has decided that you should go. Amen. Never. It will never happen until God has decided that you are going. Amen. So don't be afraid of death. By being worried, you cannot add one day to your life. In fact, you can rather shorten it. You will not die now in Jesus' name.
I receive it.
You have work to do for the Lord. Now, after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Verse 24, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. So sometimes there are some practical things you have to do to prevent yourself being killed by the enemy. The enemy is doing the works of the devil. Sometimes there are physical things you have to do, watching the gate day and night. All right? Now, then verse 25, the Bible says, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket, because the people were watching the gates of the city. So it's like, Charlie, if it's not time to die, you have to do whatever you have to do to stay alive. You don't have to say, oh, God will take care of me. I'm going to walk through the gates. When the guys are standing there, and the guys were also Saul's people, were also watching the gates. So they could see that there are dangerous people. All right? So you must also watch out. You know, there are some dangerous people sometimes in the church coming to steal phones and certain things, especially the little children. When we are having communion, doing certain things, they feel that our attention is not there. If you catch him like this, don't let him go. We have some cadets at the back who are going to deal with them. All right? Now, you got to do what you got to do. And Paul had to go in a basket. And so he went in a basket. Now, verse 26. So Paul escaped Damascus in a basket. And Damascus, by the way, when we go to Jerusalem, I'll show you. You'll be there. I said, you'll be going. How many believe that you can go, some of us can go to Israel this year? Father, open the door for many of your children visit Israel this year in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Now listen. When we go to Israel, when we go to the Galilee side, all these are notes you have to remember when you go, otherwise you will not remember. When you go to Israel, you go to the Galilee side, then there's just nearby is what they call the Golan Heights. Okay, that is where the border with Syria is. So when you stand up on the Golan Heights, if we have a chance to go there, you see Damascus is far straight. So that's where Saul went. So from Damascus, he came from Jerusalem all the way to Damascus, which is far. It's far. You can't see Damascus, but you know that it's straight way up there. The point, they say, that's Damascus. So he went to Damascus, came out with the basket, and came to Jerusalem, all the way through Galilee, down to Jerusalem. So when he got to Jerusalem, look at verse 26. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, can you change the version, please? Yeah. He was trying to associate with disciples.
All right.
But they were all afraid of him.
Dangerous guy.
Yeah. They were
all afraid of him. They said, no, this is not a proper guy. He's a spy. He's not a real Christian. It can't be. It can't be. Are there any people here where people have thought, you can't be, you can't be, you can't be? Huh? If you are here, raise your hand. If people have thought, you can't be. They don't believe it. They gave you 3 months. How many months did they give you?
My friends told me, they give me 3 months, I'll come back. But it's been 5 years by the grace of God.
Wow. 3 months. This guy was given 3 months. Just like Saul. Probation. He said, 3 months, you'll be back. Put it back, let's see. And when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples. But they were all afraid. And I tell you, there are some people, even when they are saved, you are afraid of them. Do you know anybody like that? Who is that? Yourself. You should know yourself. Not believing that he was a disciple. Wow. Some of you are professors of fornication. Like, people can't believe that you can ever be pure. Verse 27. Now, this is where Barnabas got his name from. But Barnabas was like a good brother who brings people together. Yeah. So Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken boldly. He was telling, no, he's a good person. You know, he has changed. You have to accept him. You get it? He's not a guy he used to be. There's a change. There's a great change. So Barnabas, if they ever call you Barnabas, it's like you are a brother who brings people together. Yes. A Barnabas is somebody who brings people together. And say, oh, accept. He's a good brother. And somebody who says a good thing about someone else. That makes you accepted. Wow. Verse 28. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And as for Paul, he had a lot of trouble. This is just the beginning of his life. He was beaten up because you see, the seed you sow, sometimes it follows you because he's the one who made people beat Christians. So he's the pastor who was beaten more than any other pastor throughout his ministry. So sometimes you should be careful of the seeds you sow because it can come back and it worries you all through your ministry and your life. Say, God forbid.
God forbid.
Hey. Now, this is what is expected when you are a Christian. A great change. Can we have a little bit of that song? There's a great change.
Great change since I met God.
Great change since I met God.
Great change since I met God. There's been a great change since I met God. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I met God.
A great change.
Great change since I met God. Great change since I met God.
Great change since I met God.
There's a
great change since I met God.
The boys I used to know, I know them all. The girls I used to know,
I know them no more. There's a great change since
the places I used to go.
The places I used to go, I go there no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. The places I used to go, I go there.
I used to sing.
The songs I used to sing, I sing them no more. The songs I used to sing, I sing them no more. The songs I used to sing, I sing them no more. There's a great change since I met God.
The things I used to watch,
the things I used to watch, I watch them.
Change, I suspect your Christianity. Now, sit down. How many want a great change to come about for everybody to notice? 7 great principles for a great change. Principle number 1, after you are born again, there will be no great change in your life if you don't grow up spiritually. Write it down. There will be no great change. After you are born again, there will be no great change in your life if you don't grow up spiritually. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Brethren, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual. Verse 2, I fed you with milk. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal. Whereas there is strife and envy among you, are you not carnal and walk as men? So you're just a normal person. There will be no change. So if we are going to have a change, we need to grow up spiritually. I tell you, otherwise there will be no great change. Now, how many remember that Paul, when he got saved, he stayed with the people, isn't it? And he was ministered to. Somebody laid hands on him. The story we read, he stayed there for many days. And he was received me and he was strengthened. Verse 19, Acts chapter 9, verse 19. He was strengthened. Don't just become a Christian and be there. If you don't become strong spiritually, you can never sing this song. You'll only be saying, the things I used to do, I wish I could stop doing them. The things I used to watch, I'm still watching them. There's been no change in my life. Shout, God forbid!
God forbid!
Yes. So, everybody say, I'm growing up spiritually. I'm growing up spiritually. Principle number 2. After you are born again, a great change will come in your life if you renew your mind with the word of God. A great change. There will be great changes in your life if you renew your mind with the word of God. Now, notice Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I say, principle number 2, after you are born again, there will be great changes. No renewing of mind, there will be no great change. People don't really change if you don't grow up. People don't,
don't really change. And we can't say there's a great change in you. You were a thief, you are no more a thief. You are a liar, no more a liar. We can't say there's a change if you don't renew your mind. So a lot of people even come for weddings, give their life to Christ, but they don't change. They don't change. They come to crusade, they never grow up. So Romans 12 verse 2 says, be ye transformed. Those of us who did English in school can understand the word transform. Transform means what? Change. How does the change come? By renewing your mind with the word of God. So by rereading the Bible, reading the Bible renews your mind. And I'm sharing with you, I look at this topic of great change in relation to myself. And I ask myself, what changed me? Yeah. You know, you see, I'm a half caste. In Ghana, at least some years ago, half caste would not normally see them in church. I don't know about now. Is it the same? You wouldn't see people like me in a church. Few, if any. So I wasn't in a group that was going to church. I spent my time doing other things. You get it? My pastimes, I found I was doing so many other things. And where I was doing those things, you find certain kinds of people there. When I got saved, there was a great change. My friends completely. I never know people like Bishop Saki or Bishop Eddie. I didn't know them because they didn't go to my school. My normal circles will be the people whom I grew up with. And I grew up a lot with white people even. Yes, because my mother is not from Ghana. So white children, half caste, well, no, there was no smell of charismatic church, nothing, 0.00. When you talk about a great change, I'm sharing with you something that I saw in my life. I'm not giving you a theoretical principles of how you can be changed. There was no, if you see me, I'll be swimming with white people. Riding horses with white people. I know some a church or people from a church. I've never, all night, there is nothing like that. My friends literally, the family literally changed. Yes, that's the meaning of salvation to me. It's a great change. So those of you who are just changing minimally, you just have some slight change, not a great change like how Paul saw God change. You see that this man is changed. Everything about him is changed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. This is how to learn Christ. If so be that you have heard of him and been taught by him, that is the truth. Put off concerning the conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which means that your mind also has a spirit. So it means that the innermost part of your mind should also change, not superficially, but deeply. So that you are renewed in the depth of your mind and your heart. You don't just change. So if you want a real change, because a real changer, if you don't change deeply, it doesn't last. The change doesn't last. It's just on the surface. And I pray you'll never marry somebody who just changed on the surface, but they didn't change deeply. Shout, God forbid.
Forbid.
And verse 24, and put on the new man. Put on a new man. So you are renewed in deeply in your mind. You have a new way of thinking, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting away lying. Great change. Speak every man truth. This is one of the changes. How many have told lies, over a dozen lies since you were born? A dozen is 12. 2 dozen is 24. 3 dozen, 36. 4 dozen, 5 dozen will be 60 lies. 6 dozen will be 72 lies. 7 dozen, 84 lies. 9 dozen. How many lies do you think you've told? Somebody says 1,000 dozen. God is not a man that he should lie. That's the characteristic of a man, lies. When you watch things, almost everything is not true. Yeah. Almost everything is not true. Other films, apart from the James Bond films, which are not true, we know they are not true. The news, a lot of the things are not true. I think it was either Tony Blair, one of these people, when he was asked, what is he going to miss? He said, I'm going to miss either, when I go out of power, I'm going to miss knowing the truth before the news comes, or something like that. Yeah. You know that it's not. You see somebody write a story, says his name is Tony something. It's not him. He didn't write it. Hey. So amazing. So put off lying. Verse 25. Verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. A Christian, when you are, there's a great change. Those of you say, I have a problem with anger. 5 o'clock, around 5 o'clock, your anger is supposed to be, and 5:30 is getting late. By 6 sharp, it should have been over. So if this is the case, marriages can work better. 5:36, quarrels are supposed to end around 5:30. Clean, 6 o'clock is over. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. That's Christian. That's a great change. Some of us are, we don't know, you are new, you are not so old. You have such strange problems. Temper, anger, screaming, shouting, bitterness, wickedness. And if you were to get the powers of Hitler and Stalin, the things that you would do in this world, the world would tremble if you were to get power. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Every demonic thing you were doing before, stop it. Verse 28. He says, you have to be renewed in your mind. Let him that stole steal no more. I mean, you should be able to stand on stage and say, I used to be an APO-based student from JHS. But after I got saved, I don't look at APO again. There's been a great change in man. I've not heard that testimony yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say I've not heard that testimony yet. I used to live my life based on APO in the university, but now there's a great change in my life. We don't hear that. I study for myself. How many have seen APO before? I mean, as well. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You see, there are 5,000 people here. Everybody is raising their hand. How can it be a good educational system? You cannot get this in an O level and A level that we were doing some years ago. What are you talking about? So, a born again Christian, you must show the difference. What do you think? Yes. That's why we have people in our Bible school. When they come from university, they finish university and they come to a Bible school, they struggle. They really struggle. Some of you are here. Is it not true? They struggle. Because our exams are computerized. You'll be doing exam here, and the person sitting next to you is doing a different exam. Yeah. And the questions change. They are like scrambled. It's scrambled. So they struggle. They say, hey, the school is hard. There's no APO here. Did you experience that?
Oh, I did. when I went to the Bible school, I saw that if you don't study, you cannot pass, because when you take the MCQs, they give you the questions, and when you finish answering, that's only 30% of the exam.
So, but in your former school, don't mention the former school.
It was the Apo was around. Plenty.
Plenty.
Plenty. And even
JHS.
Yes, it was there. It was there.
SHS.
Even of deck, we were organizing Apo. We're the ones organizing Apo. We're gathering money to go and buy the Apo.
You buy it?
Yes.
And you receive it. How many receive it on your phone? You receive the question before you did the exam. You receive the question the night before. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. That's it. That's Ghana today. Yeah, mobile. They will send you the question and say, don't be selfish, share with others. That's the country we are in. But you see, when you are born again, you can do well. Me, I did well in school, but without Apo. Yes. I never saw Apo. All my exams. You can never say that I did O level, A level, whatever, with Apo. No. You learn and you go. You get A, you get B. Tell somebody, look, in this church, we don't use Apo here. We don't. We are changed. We are changed. There's a great change. Check your neighbor. Are you not a student? I say we don't use Apo here. Are you not a student? Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. How many have changed the way you speak? You used to say certain words. Yeah, man. Hey. But now that there's a change, you don't use certain words. Amen. And verse 31. Look at the great change. Great change. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away. Amen. Are you with me? Principle number three, after you are born again, a great change will come if you listen to preaching. Yes. I'm just sharing with you seven principles that changed me. The greatest one, I would say one of the greatest changes was listening to preaching messages. Those outside, are you with us? No, those outside, are you part? Somebody should go there and see whether the people are. Prince, go this way. Just be sure that the people outside are, either they are with us or they. I said only one person. The rest of you stay where you are. Now, are you here? No, look, let your eyes look straight before thee. Now, listening to preaching, if you want a great change, is listening to preach over and over. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You see, it doesn't say faith comes by reading. See, faith comes by hearing. It didn't say faith comes by reading. Faith comes by hearing. So there is something that hearing does that reading doesn't do. So that's why you have Christians who read, but there's some great changes that come to those who hear. Why? Because you tend to believe more what you hear. And then when you hear it again, like today, by the time I finish preaching, you will have received only 11% of what I'm preaching, according to the statistics. If you listen to it again, it goes up to like 29%. If you listen to it the third time, it goes up to like 40. So if you listen to it again, then it's increasing 50. So it is those who listen and listen and listen. Those who first of all listen at all. And then those who listen repeatedly. So people now listening to podcasts cannot get what somebody like me used to get. I didn't have podcasts, but I have messages. And I soak them in repeatedly, the same messages. Right now, the messages I'm listening to, the person who preached in, I think, 2002. I was listening to a message this morning. I think it was preached in 1990-something or 1980-something. I just listened to the same thing. It's not like today's message I'm listening to just to hear the news. Maybe so to hear, there were some jokes in the preaching. No, changes. You talk about changes.
It's not about real change in a person. It is by hearing. I'm sharing with you a secret. Yeah. So we are all here. If the podcast has made it available. Look, there was a time we used to take, when somebody comes from England or America, the person will come and buy tapes, fill a suitcase, and go to London with it. And the pastors will be hungrily waiting. Then they will receive boxes of tapes. So, and then they will share it. And then they will duplicate it. That was how it was done. Today, instantly, podcast, you are watching, seeing, hearing. But still, it is still takes you actually listening. So you actually need the podcast. Use your phone well. Now, the phone, you must take revenge on the phone. How many have watched pornography on the phone before? Raise your hand. No, I want the truth. Bible said, let there no more corrupt this thing. Lie not. And the pastor says, you know, we won't raise our hands, isn't it? Only brothers are raising their hands. So. But God has washed away all your sins for raising your hands. You see, you have to take your revenge on the phone for bringing you something bad. And use the phone to bring you something good. Can I have an amen from somebody? Let the phone bring you something good. Let it be an avenue for spirituality. Just as it has been used to destroy you, to watch things which are not real and abnormal. And that even tune you in a different way from how you should be. And spoil your life. Oh yes. Because when people watch it, in the, when they are even married, they say, ah, but this is not what I've watched. This is not what I saw. Yeah. You saw a smiling woman doing acrobatics, and what you are seeing cannot be compared to a smiling woman. First of all, there is no smile. What is principle number one? We are closing. What's principle number one? Principle number one. There will be what? No great change in your life if you don't grow up spiritually. Principle number two. By reading. Add by reading. By reading the word. Yes. Number three. A great change if you listen to the preaching. Romans 10:17. Amen. That's principle number four, isn't it? Is that three or four? Okay. Principle number three or four, whatever. Okay. I got my numbers mixed up. Number four. Next is number four. Right. After you are born again, a great change will come if you change your friends. Amen. A great change will come if you change your friends. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Change the version, please. There will be a great change if you change your friends. Change the version. Change it to an NIV. Change to something else. No, change again. Do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. Don't be deceived. You don't have to preach to somebody to affect the person. If you just move with someone, it will affect you. That's why it's not easy to be in the politics and not be affected by what they are doing. Yeah. Every group you are in, it's affecting you. Yeah. Every group you are in. There will be no great change until you change your friends. Yeah. Birds of the same feather flock together. It's not fly together. Some people say birds of the same fly together. Birds of the same feather flock together. I heard somebody teaching in a classroom, a teacher who was teaching, and said, birds of the same feather, and then the students fly together. Please, it is birds of the same feather flock together. Ah! You see, JHS, English. Who are you friends with? It affects you so much. Don't be deceived. Don't say, oh, but he's not preaching to me. But I know what I'm doing. I know myself. I know what I have my own whatever. I have my own mind. It's not like that. It's not like that. Yeah. So those of you whose friends are weed smokers, armed robbers, thieves, pornographers. I mean, your friend is sharing with you a pornograph. That, Charlie, have you seen this one? Huh? Birds of the same feather flock together. So if you want to have a great change in your life, you need to change your friends. There will be no great change until there is a great change in your friends. So change your friends. If you move with clubbers and people who are moving with their boyfriend, as they are all going with their boyfriend, you didn't have a boyfriend. No boy came for you on Friday night. You'll be feeling sad. It's like, Tale, everybody's gone and I'm here. It's like no one likes me. Yes, it's like no one really likes me. Yeah, I'm lonely. Everybody has a boyfriend. Everybody is doing abortion. I'm the only one who is not aborting. I don't know why. Am I abnormal? Maybe I should also try and see whether the pregnancy can come. I'm still a virgin. How can I be a virgin at my age? Ha! Young girl, and you are still a virgin at the age of 28. Since 14, you couldn't do anything for yourself. You are still a virgin. Young man, 26, 25. You've not slept with, you know they ride any girl. If you who they ride them. If you who in chick that challenge, where they your chick? You see, in the world, the friends that I have, we don't call girls chicks. If you are in a world where they are calling them chicks, Charlie, your chick, they come. It's you are in the wrong group. Yes. Your girlfriend, you are a girl, and you have a friend who is a girl. In her handbag are condoms. She's not married, but she's always having condoms for safety, just in case she meets somebody. What type of friendships are these? Huh? Just in case she meets and she needs it. Emergency condoms. Tell your neighbor you have changed. There's a great change, and there must be a change in the friends too. Amen. You are in a room and look at the music they are listening to. They are smoking in the room. The smoke has filled the house. You think that it's a church where the smoke has come on stage. And there's reggae music going on. Heavy reggae music. With smoke in the air. How can you be spiritual?
And you come to church on Sunday and you go back into that environment. One day I went on visitation. I went and I saw, I met a sister. The room was full of smoke with reggae music. And the whole house was filled with smoke. How can she do well as a Christian? Now, tell your neighbor who is not smiling. It seems the preaching affects you. It seems that this preaching, it concerns you. And even within the church, there are groups within the church. Better be in the right group that is in the church. True or not true? Oh, there are some people in the church, they are just about, even as they are sitting here, they are saying, you are lucky that I came to church today. You are lucky. Oh, you're lucky. Well, I get challenge, man. I came to church, that you are preaching all these things. I won't come again. This is why I don't come. This is why I don't come, because of these type of things. Small boyfriend that I have, you are facing me. You are judging me. You are telling me that I'm judging you. Am I judging you? Am I preaching or I'm judging you? How can you tell me that I'm judging you? Is it right for you to tell me that I'm judging you? Anyway, let this be your last time. Tell somebody, principle number four. After you are born again, there will be no change, no great change, unless there's a change in the friends. Amen. Principle number five. I will be here, tell you. Principle number five. After you are born again, a great change will come. If you fellowship a lot, if you fellowship, yes, if you fellowship a lot, beautiful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. If you fellowship a lot, look at it. Try the NASB, please. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. So let's hold fast. Okay. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Stimulation. How many know that when you listen to certain music, you are stimulated sexually? Like you feel, is it true or is not true? Like you feel sexy. So, when you come to church, you can be stimulated to spiritual things and towards God. So he says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Verse 25. Not, you see, by not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, as some people do. They forsake coming together. It's a habit. It's something people do. They don't come to church. They don't assemble. When we are assembling, they don't assemble. When we are coming, they don't come. When there's a meeting, they are not there. They are in last and late and out first. Because when you come to church, you are being stimulated. Look at it, put it back. But center meetings, the habit of some, no, verse 25. But encouraging one another all the more to do what? To assemble what together and stimulate each other. So since you've been in church, you've been stimulated. The film star stimulated you too. Did they not stimulate you? The King James says, provoking one another to love and good works. But this version says, stimulate. The dancing starts stimulate you to dance for God. Chale, work for Jesus. Shout for Jesus. Shout for Jesus. You say you are being stimulated. Work for the Lord. We are being stimulated. So those who don't come for this stimulation, they are not stimulated. They are in the house listening to some groovy music. Oh, baby, tonight I need to hold you. I need to feel you, baby. Hey! They are being stimulated in the house whilst you are in church listening to Christian music, which is stimulating you to build a mega church, to love the Lord. When a man loves the Lord, he will want to miss his quiet time. Is it not a stimulation? So until you learn, fellowship is something regular. Look, this Sunday church that we come in, I'll tell you, it's a downgrade from what I knew. When I became a Christian, I was part of Calvary Road. I didn't really have any church. Even Action, when I went, it was just symbolically on a few occasions. My real fellowship was Calvary Road, which is called Harvest. And we were Monday, we had meetings on Monday, Tuesdays, meetings on Wednesdays, meetings on Thursdays, meetings on Friday, Saturday we have outreach, and Sunday we rest. So Sunday we do not go to church. It was Monday to Saturday. Sunday we rest. Yeah, Saturday is outreach. What a fellowship. We are having meetings. That's where I had my spiritual training. You see, somebody can come to the room and give a prayer topic. We are there. He waves his long finger like this. When he stands there, he says, shall we pray? Then he will go to town. Once we are there, pray. He will go to town to do various things and come back. He's sorting out some other things for the fellowship when he comes back. We are still there praying. We are there till we are told something else. Waba wabie. That is the real waba wabie. So Hebrews 10, look at verse 23 again. 23. Let's hold fast. Verse 24. Let's consider how to stimulate one another. How many want to know how to stimulate? You are in your room and your roommate has gone to bring a boy. And you are in the room. You have turned yourself this way. And you are hearing sounds. Ooh. Oh. Hi. You see? Huh? And you are saying you are there. Will it not stimulate you? As things are going on, you say that, hey, this thing cry is a wonderful thing. I must also experience it. Yes. Shh. When I was in when I would take a taxi or any, the music is the wrong music, I would tell the driver, please change the music, take it off. Any country, I said, no, I don't need it. It is disturbing me. It's destimulating me. I don't want to be. Charlie, there are some music. When you hear the music, you know, you get a feeling. It's charged. They are spiritually charged. There was a guy, my next door neighbor, he used to play sexual healing.
Every day it was his favorite song. When he plays, it means he's fornicating. He had different girls. Then he played. He had a small tape recorder. He put it at the window, loud, as if he's doing broadcast. Sexual healing. He repeat. And we are next door soaking it. That's how can we even know certain songs? Chale, chale, shout for Jesus. Chale, chale, shout for Jesus. We are stimulating ourselves in the church. Yes. Now, let's take charcoal. If you take one charcoal out of the coal pot, those of you who know how to use a coal pot, charcoal, even if you don't know how to use a coal pot, please, culinary stars, we have some after. If you take one coal out and put it alone, you see that it will go, all the fire will go off. It will go cold. But when you take it and join it to the others stimulate, there's interstimulation. You realize that there are people that are not backsliding. As you are deciding to backslide, there are a lot of people that are also not backsliding. You find other people who are even virgins. Older virgins than you. Older ones. Ha! You are 32, you are still a virgin. So yeah, I'm going strong. I'm yet to test what Adam and Eve tasted. I'm yet to taste it. I'm pure. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I'm here to stimulate you, brother. Yes. Amen. How many principles do we have? Principle number one. Principle number one, quickly, we are closing. After you are born again, there will be no great change. Did you write it down? Read it. Read out your notes. You should can write on your phone too if you don't have paper. After you're ready, go. After you're born again. Principle number two. After you're born again, there will be a great change if you renew your mind by reading the Word of God. Amen. And reading Christian books as well. Number three. I'll say it again. After you are born again, a great change will come if you listen to preaching. How many don't have podcast yet? Raise your hand like this. Raise your hand, please. Oh, no one is raising your hand. We want to help you. As soon as we close, please, all those who've lifted your hand, come to, we have a corner here called Podcast Corner. Just come here. We'll do it for you. It's free. You don't pay anything, and it will be a blessing to you. You will listen to preaching from now, and a great change. I can see that my Christians are changing because they listen to. Whenever I meet somebody who listens to preaching, even pastors, I know. When they listen to preaching, I know. Because you can literally see them changing as they listen to the word. They actually change. Number four, principle number four. If you change your friends. Number five, principle number five. After you are born again, a great change will come if you fellowship a lot. Amen. What happens when you fellowship? Stimulation. So write into brackets, stimulation. Stimulation. And principle number six, after you are born again, a great change will come if you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. And principle number seven, after you are born again, a great change will come in your life if you learn how to pray in tongues for a long time. Yes, that's the seventh principle, the last principle. Wow. So principle number six is, after you are born again, a great change will come if you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I prayed for people this morning to receive the Holy Spirit. I really want everybody to have the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. And principle number seven, after you are born again, a great change will come in your life if you learn how to pray in tongues for a long time. I'm telling you things that I have done. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Please write down all the seven principles. You need these seven principles. I gave you seven principles of salvation, seven principles for church spiritual growth. And now it's giving you seven principles for a great change Like if there's going to be a great change in your life, then you need these seven principles. Number one, okay, I've given you all, we'll just go over the last principle. When there will be a great change, when what? You learn how to pray in tongues for a long time. Yes. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Verse 4. Beautiful. Verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, that's what? Edifies himself. Builds up yourself. Another version, Amplified. Please put Amplified there. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies and improves himself. Yes. There's an improvement. There's an improvement. There's improvement. I don't feel it. Yes, you don't have to feel it. We are not talking about feelings. You are improved. And you have to trust things, what the instruments are saying. When you are flying a plane, you know, at first I used to think that the pilot can see the ground. Do you see? But I tell you, unless you are called, don't be a pilot. I've been in the cockpit when you are landing. It's frightening. I mean, they have to believe what they are seeing. They have to believe that you are 100 meters from the ground. You can't see. Do you know how big the planes are? They just have to trust and obey. They look at the thing. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. You have to trust it. You are getting that. So that is why if that thing is not working, it will tell you that you are 100 meters from the ground when you are 20 meters from the ground. So you may be descending and thinking that you are further, there's more space to go, then it's just here. So that the instruments have to be working. And our instruments are the word of God. It is telling us, the instrument is telling us that it means that there is improvement. No, you have to believe it because you can't see it. Hey, look, I'll tell you. Do you know what I feel when I speak in tongues? Can I tell you what I feel when I speak in tongues? Tired. Tiredness. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes when I pray in tongues, I can pray in tongues and I just feel like, what is this? I don't even feel God has heard me. I don't know whether he has heard me. But I have to look at the instruments and believe. You know, recently an aeroplane fell out of the sky, three years ago, from flying from Brazil to Europe. You see, the instrument was telling them that this is the speed, but it wasn't true. You see, so when they believed it, they pressed something, then it went down. Because it will tell you that it's going fast, but it's going slow. So when you lower the speed a little, it just goes down. Because the speed, the engine power, that is making you fly. So you really need to, because there's no other way. The cockpit is high. Like it's like when you jump from 747, it's like you're jumping from 3 or 4 stories high. You know, Pan Am, when they had a crash, the pilot was up in the, they had to come down. It's very higher than the roof. You can't see the ground. I'm sorry. You have to believe. So if you are not a man of faith, you can't be a pilot. You will say, Charlie, let me look outside. Charlie, let me look outside. Charlie, let me look outside. Like I say, are we going fast? Are we going slow? You can't do that whilst we are on board. How many would like your pilot to be looking outside to see whether? Charlie, let me look outside. So, it says that it is improving. That's what the instrument says. It is improving. So just do it. Pray in the spirit. Learn to pray in tongues. You become stronger, like Saul strengthened himself. That's what changes people. When you pray, you have the presence of God with you. Yeah. And you are strengthened. You see all your former temptations. You see them as small boys. Ha! You! I used to be a problem for me. Now it's not a problem. You are not a problem. You are finished with you. You are finished. You are finished. You are finished. You see all of them.
But when you are not strong, you see your temptations line up. And you, when you see them, you start shaking. How many realize when you were in school, there were some boys who used to bully you, some girls who used to bully you. Now when you see them, you realize that you have also become a bit, you realize that you can even employ some of the people that were bullying you.
Kabashakayada.
Receive it.
Principle number one. We are closing. Principle number one. If you don't grow up spiritually, how many are going to have a great change? Principle number two, after you are born again, there will be a great change if you renew your mind by reading the word of God. Let's all say principle number three, born again, a great change will come if you listen to preaching. Wow. Principle number four, after you are born again, a great change will come if you change your friends. How many are affected by this point? Hey, all of you. Father, give them strength to change their friends.
Amen.
And one of the places that where we see that your friends are not changed is at your wedding. Do you know where we see? When you bring your best man. And when you bring your maid of honor. And all these funny, funny people. You see, there's some guy is coming. He's your best man. Hey! Meanwhile, you're a center leader. And this, look at your best man. Yeah. Principle number five. On again, a great change will come if you fellowship a lot. Into brackets, stimulation. Principle number six. After you are born again, a great change will come if you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. How many are receiving the Holy Spirit? Oh, hallelujah. Number seven, principle number seven. After you are born again, a great change will come if you learn to pray in tongues for a long time. Stand to your feet. All right. Father, thank you for your word today. Lift your hands. Father, we are grateful as you strengthen us to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here, you are not born again, you want to give your life to Jesus, come, lift your hand and come to me. I want to pray with you. I want to be born again. I want to be a born again Christian. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here like that, lift your right hand up like this. High. Lift it like this. High up. And come to me in the front. I'm about to pray. Come. I want to pray with you, with me here. I want you to pray with me here in front here. Come. God bless you. God bless you. Come, let me pray. Quickly, 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 quickly. Lift your hands and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. I'm sorry for my sins, my mistakes, my wickedness. Have mercy upon me and wash me in the blood of Jesus. From today, I give my life to God and I will serve God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take my book. I'm giving you. Quickly give them the books. Beautiful. Beautiful. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, protect these ones. Don't let them fall by the wayside. Thank you for the blessing in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, all of you who are holding this book, when we close, come to this side here where the people are standing. It's a very important meeting for you. Your life will never be the same. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. Congregation, you may be seated. It's time for communion. Yes.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the meal of God. Oh, it will sustain you, it will give you life. When I see the blood, pass over you. Oh, when I see the blood, oh, I will pass over you. God sent prophet Elijah on a long journey for 40 days and tonight, Elijah needed supernatural strength. Oh, prophet Elijah, take this meal and eat. It will sustain you for 40 days and for 40 nights. This meal was the blessing that Elijah needed. Oh, when I see over you, when I see the blood, oh, oh, I will pass over you.
Stand to your feet. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we're healed. Look at verse 4 again. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. So today the cross is manifested. Whatever makes you sorry.
Yes.
And whatever makes somebody say sorry to you.
Yes.
Is taken away by this.
Amen.
Whatever makes you pitiful.
Yes.
Financially.
Yes.
Socially.
Yes.
Medically.
Yes.
Relationally.
Yes.
In your job.
Yes.
Whatever is grievous and brings you grief. Today by the body of Jesus Christ, it is taken away.
I receive it.
Your sorrows,
yes,
are carried away today.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The body of Jesus Christ. Carried our sorrows. Whatever makes your handkerchief full of tears is taken away today.
I receive it.
Whatever makes you to wear black.
Yes.
In sorrow. Not for fashion. Is taken away.
I receive it.
Whatever makes you to be stricken like you have been struck. In the name of Jesus. Christ was stricken for you. You will not be struck anymore.
I receive it.
Receive the taking away of your sorrows.
I receive it.
The taking away of your griefs.
I receive.
What makes you unhappy?
Hey.
What makes you unhappy in this life is taken away.
I receive.
In the name of Jesus the Savior.
It.
What makes you worried?
Yes.
Is taken away by the blood of Jesus.
I receive it.
What makes you tense? Whatever represents tension in your life.
Yes.
And stress. Today is taken away by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. May you be called a blessed child.
I receive it.
May joy come into your house again.
I receive it.
May your home be filled with laughter.
I receive it.
May your home be filled with rejoicing.
I receive it.
May you hear good news continually.
I receive it.
May all bad news be blocked from coming to your life.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus the Savior.
Yes.
Surely he has borne our griefs.
I receive it.
And carried our sorrows.
Yes.
We enforce this blessing in every life today.
I receive.
We enforce this blessing in every life today.
I receive.
We enforce the blessing of God carrying away your sorrows and your griefs. In the name of Jesus.
I receive.
Whatever represents a marital sorrow,
Professor,
or marital grief,
yes,
I curse it and I say, go from the children.
Amen.
Whatever represents financial grief,
oh yes,
and sorrows, I say, go away now.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Whatever makes you sit down alone, sit alone, 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 alone. All forms of loneliness in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray. Loneliness be taken away from all your children, Lord. All your children. In the name of Jesus. Now, whatever makes you wake up in the night and not be able to sleep again.
Professor.
For a long time, yes, lying awake, not sleeping.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, I rebuke it now. Go away.
Amen.
Whatever makes it difficult for you to sleep,
yes,
in the first place, you lie awake and anxiously lie, unable to sleep. For he giveth his beloved sleep.
Oh, yes.
I rebuke that thing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Whatever represents sorrow in your life, in Jesus' name, whatever makes people feel sorry for you in this life, I bind his power over your life and I declare a new day and a new chapter begins in your life from this moment onwards.
I receive it.
People will now begin to envy you.
Oh, yes.
Instead of you envying others. I prophesy,
Professor,
that it will happen practically in your life in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Instead of you reading the news, you are going to be making news.
I receive it.
And people are going to be admiring your life.
I receive it.
Receive it in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Anyone here who is declared as a nobody,
oh, yes,
from today by the power of the Holy Spirit, become somebody.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus. The next 3 months,
Professor,
mark the beginning of a new change and a great change in your life.
Receive it.
Receive a great change. A great change. A great change. A great change.
I receive it.
Every aspect of your life. In the name of he who died on the cross and rose after 3 days. In the name of Jesus the Savior. Be blessed and receive a great change in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.